The Best in Class podcast continues its draft reviews division by division. It's quick, it's fast, it's in-depth. It's JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan taking on the AFC East today. You can follow the Best in Class podcast at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, and dive in. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, where Sean also doubles as the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. This is Sean Sullivan for the best 30 minutes in football. Today, we're doing the AFC East. Very excited. Some great teams in here. But first, let's pay our bills, right? So are you worried about paying too much for a new vehicle? Don't worry. Drive Curry. With our summer sales event, Bill Curry Ford will beat any advertised price by $100. That's right. Just bring the ad in and show it to our staff. It's that easy. And if you're trying to find time to schedule your vehicle for service, don't worry. Service at Curry, with our no-charge pickup and delivery and no-charge mobile vans, we can perform service from your house or work. If you want to visit, we have 100 loaner vehicles available. So just visit BillCurryFord.com and schedule now. So, big news, we're coming up in the next few weeks, we're coming up into mini camp starting for some teams, so that's very exciting. So we're going to wrap up the AFC. And then we're going to get on to a fantasy football podcast for rookies, like for dynasty leagues, because that's what I'm being asked for on the emails. So I'm going to knock that out. And then we're going to update mini camps before the season starts. So we're going to go over some really strong rookies, maybe in the preseason games, rookies who have stood out in mini camps. So very exciting stuff. So strap in. Let's do the AFC East. All right, we're going to start with the Buffalo Bills, who went 11-6 last year. They went into this draft with not a lot of ammunition. No first-round draft pick. They had a couple of second-round draft picks. But overall, not a lot of ammunition for a team, you know, that has Super Bowl aspirations. And they lost Stephon Diggs in the offseason and Gabe Davis. So their wide receiver room needs a lot of help. And when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, what do? With pick 33 in the second round, you go out and get Keon Coleman out of Florida State. Now, here's a guy that we talked about at length on best-in-class wide receiver breakdown, because I thought he would be an option for the Buccaneers if he was still on the board and they wanted to go with Keon in the second round. This guy instantly becomes the number one target in Buffalo. Who else do they have right now? I mean, they have an amazing set of tight ends. They have pass-catching running backs and tight ends. But wide receiver-wise, Keon Coleman could not be in a better position. He's going to have the best quarterback play down the field. He's a down-the-field wide receiver. He's definitely going to play X because of his size and athleticism. I really don't care about anything else on him. He has good hands. He's going to get open. The weather's not going to be a factor for him. It's just, that's a great pick. Boy, did they need some help in that room. So again, a little precursor to our podcast for fantasy football. Keon Coleman is a guy you want to stash on your benches if you're in a dynasty league. Second round pick number 6, safety Cole Bishop out of Utah. He is absolutely going to fill the void that's by Michael Hyde, who just left. Obviously, he's a high effort guy. Great textbook tackler. I think that he has the ability to create turnovers. I think he has great hands. I think he's a very cerebral player, so you really need that in that Buffalo defense. So Cole Bishop out of Utah, solid pick. He's going to start. So between Keon Coleman and Cole Bishop, I think they added two starters to their roster. In the third round, pick 95, they went interior defensive line with Dwayne Carter out of Duke. This was a guy that climbed the boards. This was like a fifth or sixth round draft pick, and he just kept like chipping away, and he made it into the third round. So congratulations on him. He's unbelievably productive at Duke. He had 114 pressures since 2022, which is the second amongst all interior defensive tackles. He's not much of an athlete. That's where you take him to the combine and you look at it. Okay, so he's smart, intelligent, versatile. He can play the run and the pass. He's extremely coachable. Does that make up for the fact that he's not like a super athlete? We'll see how he holds up against like professional offensive linemen, because that's what they are in the NFL. They're professionals. He's not going to be able to, you know, to go against some of the guys that he's gone in that conference at Duke. But it's going to be a big adjustment for Dwayne Carter. But I feel like the fact that he was a captain for 3 years and he started as a freshman, I mean, those are things that when you look at it, okay, this player, he's got a lot of games under his belt, lots of snaps, very coachable guy. I think there's something there for him, and I think at pick 95, good for him, because I know he deserved to go in this draft higher than he was projected in the fifth and sixth round. I just thought that was ridiculous. So I think in the third round, it's really great value for him. Now, pick number four, which in the fourth round, it's also pick number four, pick 128. This is a guy that I'm super high on. That's Ray Davis out of Kentucky. For those Bucks fans who know, I projected him to go to the Bucks in my mock draft. I really love Ray Davis. I love his story. I love the fact that he has done it himself. He, you know, he has continued to defy the odds, not having a strong family background at all, being a walk-on, you know, fighting for his education, fighting for his running ability. You see it when he runs, in my opinion. I feel like when I watch this guy run, he's running for his life, because that's really what it is. I have a lot of respect for Ray Davis. I think he's going to fit in amazingly well in Buffalo. I think he's going to be able to catch the ball from Josh Allen. I think that he, after yards after contact, he's one of the very best. He had, did have 7 receiving touchdowns last year, which is terrific. And he's a home run hitter. I mean, he racked up 12 rushes for 20-plus yards in 2023. He breaks a lot of tackles. He checks all the boxes for me. Big, powerful runner. When I say big, plays big. And he acts like he's a much bigger running back than he is. So Ray Davis has a chance, in my opinion, to steal a lot of snaps his rookie year. So again, another guy that should be stashed on dynasty leagues is Ray Davis, because I think he has the opportunity in Buffalo. They're going to love him. They're going to love his story, the way he runs. These Buffalo Bill Mafia guys, they're no joke when it comes to supporting their team. I think he's going to be an instant fan favorite, and I think he's going to get a lot of touchdowns for Buffalo. In the fifth round, Cedric Van Praan out of Georgia. When I was asked about one of my favorite centers, and I was talking to Ira Kaufman, and he really, you know, liked Frazier in the second round, and I said, well, Daniel, that's a great pick. You know, Frazier is a beast. He went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We discussed that. I talked to you about how amazing the Steelers draft was. But Cedric Van Praan in the fifth round, pick 141, this guy's a starter in the NFL. Big, strong. He only allowed 1 sack at Georgia. I mean, if you think about, this is Georgia. They play top-tier talent every single week. He had 1,400 pass-blocking snaps at Georgia and gave up 1 sack. One of those guys that has the right size, his body type is perfect for center, really does a terrific job of getting the ball to the quarterback. I think he can play guard as well on both sides, but I think he's a center. I think that, you know, he has the potential to be a day one starter. I think he's going to really impress people in camp. I just thought, you know, later in the draft, he was a perfect center. If you didn't want to take a center in the first round, which is, you know, hit or miss. A lot of people don't take centers in the first round. A lot of people take centers later. But, you know, first round centers do have a way of being extremely successful, because usually they're very special. But there were some centers in this draft that, you know, third, fourth, fifth round picks that I feel like could have immediately upgraded the Bucks. But again, that's just me. I mean, obviously, I wish the best for all the Bucks draft picks. Their other pick in the fifth round was Ufanosho out of Washington, linebacker. Don't write me any emails, please. 300 defensive snaps for the first time in his career this past season. I mean, I got to watch all of his play, because obviously I was watching Washington every snap. He was in a lot of splash plays. You know, the only thing I was worried about was I don't think he plays the run as well as I would like. I think he plays the pass even better than the run. You know, he seems to be an instinctive player. He called the plays for Washington, so I feel like that's a pretty good pick. In the fifth round, they went with an edge, an outside edge in Javon Solomon. Very small, not very athletic edge rusher who had incredible production in college. He had 32 sacks since 2021. He was the number one sack guy in college football for the last 3 years at Troy. Obviously, his competition level is down, but he also was one of the very best at tackles behind the line of scrimmage. So if you think about tackles for loss and sacking, this guy is always around the ball. But again, who is he playing against, right, at Troy? And this is the thing I talk about all the time, is his level of what a jump he's going to have just getting into minicamp with the Buffalo Bills. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to try to keep him away from the blockers and try to get him around the edge somehow? Because he's going to get absolutely destroyed by modern professional left tackles in the NFL. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with him and what position he's going to play, because I don't think he's going to be like a stand-up edge. He's just too small. But if you think about when we talked about in our last podcast was finishing, like these guys, how many guys can you say when they get to the quarterback finish. I mean, we talk about these players that are edge and fringe guys because they have all the physical talent, they have the size and the speed like Joe Tryon, and they don't finish. They can't do it. Well, Solomon had 32 sacks. He obviously has that knack for getting the quarterback to the ground. So congratulations on that pick. I think in the fifth round, pick 168, it's a really terrific pick. In the sixth round, pick 204, Tylan Grable out of UCF. Really interesting guy. He was at Jacksonville State, and then he transferred to UCF. So this is a guy that was not very highly recruited, worked his way, got bigger, got stronger, transferred to a school to give him some more pub. He played left tackle for the Knights for 2 years. In the sixth round, he's a developmental guy. They might move him inside. He might stay at tackle, but he's probably going to be a swing tackle in the NFL. They're probably going to cross-train him. I don't think he's a starter, but I think he's good depth. In the sixth round, pick 219, Daquan Hardy out of Penn State. Another Penn State guy. I tell you what, that Penn State just keeps rolling out talent and rolling out talent and rolling out talent. How are they not winning national championships? I have no idea, or even competing for a national championship. But they have a lot of talent, especially at corner. So Hardy's coming off a season in which he played a career 419 snaps, which is pretty incredible. He only allowed 318 yards and a pair of touchdowns for the entire season. That's a pretty great guy to get in the sixth round. Again, we've talked about the depth of defensive backs in this draft. You can get a guy, a quality nickel in the sixth round. I think Hardy is going to steal some snaps in Buffalo. In the seventh round, they finished off their draft with Travis Clayton. He played at a place called International Pathway Program. I know nothing about Travis Clayton. Again, he's a flyer at 221. He's from England. He played in something over there. He has a background in rugby and boxing. So this is your ESPN 30-30 guy where they spend that time talking about how hard it is to go from rugby and boxing and translate into a guard in the NFL. But to me, that's a training camp story. I don't know what he's going to be able to do for the Buffalo Bills. But recapping, with the first round draft pick, Buffalo Bills, well, not their first pick, but in the second round, Keon Coleman, he's going to start for the Buffalo Bills. Great pick. Cole Bishop out of Utah is going to start for the Bills. Dwayne Carter is going to get some snaps out of Duke, which is really terrific. Cedric Van Praan in the fifth round. I told you, I think he was probably my third best center in the entire draft. They stole him in the fifth round. Ray Davis in the fourth. I wish he was in a Bucs uniform. That doesn't mean that I don't want Bucky Irving to do a terrific job. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Ray Davis, to me, is going to be a star running back in the NFL, and I think he's going to have a great career in Buffalo. Alu Franchenu, out of Washington, please no emails. Again, I think he's a coverage linebacker. I think he needs to get bigger and stronger to play the run. Very cerebral guy, did call the plays for Washington. Javon Solomon out of Troy, again, led college football with 32 sacks, gets to the quarterback, can finish, doesn't have a lot of weight on him, not very athletic. Just has some dog in him, and we'll see how that translates. I'm very curious to see how Buffalo is going to use him. But in the fifth round, who cares, right? Tylan Grable out of UCF is a backup tackle. Daquan Hardy out of Penn State is going to probably get some snaps at nickel, and Travis Clayton I think is more of just a story in the seventh round. But overall, I like Buffalo's draft. If you think about it, coming off of an 11-win season. I really feel like they should have upgraded their wide receiver room more. I think Keon Coleman is a big addition, but this was deep enough in wide receivers where they should have probably added another one. I love their safety and interior line picks between Van Praan and Carter. I think that's some really great stuff. And then they took some gambles on guys like Javon Solomon out of Troy and Grable. I think Hardy, and I think they took some chances. So good for them. The next team we're going to talk about is the Miami Dolphins, who have had a pretty impressive offseason. They went 11-6 last year, finished second in their division, but they lost in the tiebreaker. So their first-round draft pick, pick 21, we all know who he is, Chop Robinson out of Penn State, another Penn State guy. We talked about him as a pass rusher, as a possibility for the Buccaneers. He went, obviously, prior to the Buccaneers pick. He was really growing on me because I was watching more and more going, okay, so I don't like the fact that he didn't have the stats. Really hard for me to get around that he's got the best first step in college football, that he's just a beast of a player. He had tackles for loss. The teams did obviously double team him quite a bit. Definitely knew where he was on the field. My thing is, I wish he had more than six sacks. He did get hurt. He did miss 8 games. What I did was I went ahead and took his average per game, tackles and sacks. He would have had 9.5 sacks had he played his entire junior year, which just under 10 sacks if he had stayed on the same trajectory. So I can't really knock him for being hurt, but I think Chop Robinson gives Miami exactly what they wanted. They have a fast speed pass rusher. As you know, Miami finds these guys. They have a couple of really good pass rushers right now. In the second round, they picked tackle Patrick Paul out of Houston. This guy is more of a combine guy, long arms. He moved extremely well. He did so good in all of the drills. With his long arms, it's very difficult to get around him. So if he locks him onto you, he's going to be a terrific pass protector. I don't know. It's the Houston thing that bothers me, right? It's the small school tackles, not guards. So Patrick is going to play tackle in the NFL. It's just the level of competition is so much different. Like, guys struggle from Georgia and LSU, right? And USC and Michigan. They don't just walk in other than, you know, superstars like that they come in. We don't really see guys making an impact. And this guy has to come into the NFL as a tackle and go against the premier defensive ends in the world. He has to come from Houston. So, listen, does he have the size and the strength and the arm length and everything you look for on paper? He absolutely does. When he was at Houston, was he terrific at left tackle? Yes, he was, right? This is just going to be about the transition. Can he transition, and what can he offer Miami this year? In the fourth round, Miami picked another running back, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Fits their profile to a T, you know, has 4.4 speed, home run ability. He played in the SEC. He averaged over 7.4 yards a carry. He's very, very underrated, underlooked. And if you think about what he can do in Miami, Miami has a deep running back bench right now. So I don't know how many carries Jalen Wright's going to get, but I guarantee you that when he does get in the game and he does get that opportunity, he's going to light it up. I think he's very, very, very underrated. And the fact that he gained that many yards in the SEC is pretty impressive. In the fifth round, they got one of Lee DeKemper's favorite edges, Mohamed Kamara out of Colorado State. I first brought this gentleman to Lee's attention in the Colorado State game. So I was obviously watching a ton of Sanders at quarterback and Sanders at safety. And I was obviously watching several of their wide receivers. And of course, I'm watching Deion coach. And they go into the Colorado State game. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know a ton about Colorado State. I mean, they've had some quarterbacks over the years, but other than that, they really haven't produced a lot. And this guy, Kamara, was just dominating the line of scrimmage, like every second of the game. He was getting to Sanders over and over and over again, and he just was relentless. Just the motor would not stop. I love that about edge rushers. So Kamara's a little undersized, sure, but he ran a 4.5, 7.40. He had a 10.3 broad jump, but he's only 6'2", 249. But the guy plays with a lot of heart and a lot of energy. In the fifth round pick, 158, he's an absolute steal. I think he's going to be a very good player for them. So watch out for Kamara. Just, you cannot teach what he has. In the sixth round pick, 184, Malik Washington out of Virginia. Malik Washington is another guy. I don't know what kind of playing time he's going to get. Miami probably has the best wide receiver room in football. But adding Malik Washington is pretty crazy. If you think about it, he's going to be like the fourth or fifth guy. He could play special teams. He's had the very best hands, second best hands in college football. Has really terrific route running. He's just an all-around solid guy. I don't think he does anything spectacular, but I think he's going to be a special teams player for Miami. And I think he's a terrific addition at pick 184. In the sixth round pick, 198, Patrick McMorris out of California. He's a safety. Don't really know much about this guy. He wasn't in my safety breakdown when I tried to do some research on him for my podcast. He actually didn't play the full season at California. He had 21 defensive stops. I think this is more just a flyer of a special teams guy in the sixth round pick, 198. Maybe they saw something on film, but again, don't have a lot of information on Patrick McMorris. In the seventh round, they picked a guy that a lot of people know about, obviously, because he played at USC, and that's Tyjae Washington. He's very, very small guy. Small guys don't really make it in the NFL. I mean, there are exceptions like Tank Dell and Steve Smith, and you know, there's some of those guys where just like, okay, they're a little shorter. Steve Smith did put on a lot of muscle in the NFL, but Washington is a guy that is exciting when he gets the ball in his hands. You know, he can make people miss. I think the one problem with him is he doesn't have terrific hands. So if you're going to be on the smallish side and you're not going to be able to block, you need to really have something special like the ability to break away for a touchdown with good hands. I think he needs to work on his hands. I think he needs to work on getting separation. I think in the seventh round pick, 241, though, I think he can play special teams. And I think he might, but between, I think, Washington, and then you go back and you look at the other Washington, which is Malik out of Virginia, Malik has a much better chance of making this team So we'll see how that goes for the Dolphins. But summing up the Miami Dolphins draft, Chop Robinson is going to start. From what I'm hearing in pre-minicamp, Patrick Paul is going to start for the Dolphins if he's not in rotation. We'll see how that goes. Jalen Wright is going to have a tough time getting on the field, but when he does, I think he's going to absolutely be a star, just in limited carries, 5-6 times a game. Kamara is a guy that I was really high on as an edge rusher. I think he gets some snaps, and Malik Washington out of Virginia, I think, makes the team. The other guys, I think, are gonna struggle. Let's move on to the New York Jets, who went 7-10 last year. Everyone knows that Aaron Rodgers went down, so they didn't get really good quarterback play. But let's talk about it. The Jets have considerably amazing drafts. 2 years ago, they had one of the best drafts I've ever seen, and it revolutionized their team. Last year was an okay draft. Well, I shouldn't say okay for the Jets, because they've been sensational. Then we go into this year, okay? What do they do in the first round? Of course, they're really trying to work on the offensive line. They signed two players in the offseason. Then they draft Fashanu out of Penn State at pick 11. This guy is a beast. He's big and strong. So they brought in Tyron Smith from the Cowboys and Morgan Moses to strengthen the line. Fashanu's going to definitely start. I just don't know how you can keep him off the field. He's a beast. He was ranked, obviously, as one of the best college tackles in all of football. His pass blocking and his run blocking are top-notch. He's just a beast of a man. So the Jets got an amazing pick in Fashanu. I think he's going to make a difference right away. And I think adding Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses was also a good move. They didn't have a second-round draft pick, but in pick number 3 in the third round, pick 65, Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. This guy is unbelievable. So for those of you guys who are listening for the Dynasty League, make sure you write this guy's name down, Malachi Corley. This guy's a special teams demon. He also can take the ball to the end zone anytime he wants. To me, he is the closest thing to a running back that plays wide receiver. He's just unbelievable. Because when I say running back, the reason why I say that is because he looks for contact. Like he's a smaller guy that doesn't run away from contact. I want you to listen to some of the things about Corley that's interesting. He had 683 yards after the catch. After the catch, 683 yards. That's a good season for most wide receivers. This was after the catch. Amazing. He forced, this is Lee Kemper's favorite stat, 63 missed tackles. 63 missed tackles on 253 receptions. That leads all of college football. And get this, he's going to play with Aaron Rodgers, right? So you guys, if you don't know who Corley is out of Western Kentucky, you're going to know who he is this year. I know they're all talking about right now trading for Davante Adams, so you can pair Wilson with Adams. And if that doesn't happen, you're going to see Corley really step in, and you're going to see a difference in him. I think that he's absolutely spectacular. Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, he was a star running back at Wisconsin at 18 years old, which I think was pretty crazy. He's only 20 years old right now. He's just a big, gigantic running back, doesn't possess a jump cut. He doesn't get as many yards after contact as you expect with his size. That's probably why he fell to the fourth round. But you get him out in a screen, he's going to be scary for linebackers and corners and safeties to try to get. So I feel like there's some area here with the Jets where they can get him outside a little bit. And I'm not talking about running laterally. I don't want this man running east to west ever. I want him running north to south at all times. So I would give him screens where he's already running north, get him the ball. That's a scary kind of deal. I think he's also going to be terrific around the goal line. In the fifth round, they took a chance on a quarterback that would have been at least a second-round draft pick, and that's Jordan Travis out of Florida State, pick 171. Obviously, he had a terrible injury for Florida State. Florida State still went to the big game. You know, and then when they realized that Travis wasn't going to play, you know, they got skipped, right? So that, I mean, it is what it is, because no one wants to watch a backup Florida State quarterback that didn't get a lot of reps, you know, play for the national championship. And everybody understands that, right? I hope they do too, right? But Jordan Travis was special. He had 46 big-time throws. That's a big deal. I love that stat. He's not afraid to throw the ball down the field. He's not afraid to really tight it into, right, really throw it into tight windows. He's a fearless guy, and I think that his leadership really showed when he was injured. The way his teammates rallied around him and the way that he led them and stood on the sideline, I love that. There's a chance for him. In the fifth round, they picked running back Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. Really an interesting guy. He had 151 forced missed tackles, which is really really great. When he's running the ball, now remember, he played at South Dakota State, but running the ball, he obviously carried for the most yards per carry, had the most rushing touchdowns. I mean, the guy was an absolute beast at that level. And the thing I've learned about being an amateur scout is a lot of these guys, these running backs at small schools that put up these amazing stats, and you're so excited to see them get into minicamp, and they don't do anything. And you're like, man, why aren't they doing anything? And you realize, are they really that terrific? Or are they just a Division I player playing not at Division I? Like, if you took, say, Travis Etienne, who just went to Georgia, transferred from Florida, and let's just say he played at South Dakota State, would he break every single record, right, at South Dakota State? Would he lead all the – of course he would. So I don't know if Isaiah Davis is a guy – that is in the fifth round, obviously, isn't going to hurt you. But is he a guy that is special, or is he a guy that was just special against his competition? So we'll see. It's really hard to judge these running backs in these small schools. In the fifth round, pick 176, there's this Q Stiggers. Was the CFL standout. He was the rookie of the year for the CFL. Terrific coverage guy in that division. Obviously, not the NFL. He had 5 interceptions, but in the fifth round pick, 176, it's a great story. It's another ESPN 30 for 30. You know his voyage to the NFL, like all the different stops that he took. I get it. I wish him the well. I saw an interview with him. He seems like a nice kid, but I could tell you I have no idea what playing in the CFL does. But if you're in the fifth round, I guess it doesn't really hurt. In the seventh round, safety Jalen Key out of Alabama. Why would you not draft an Alabama guy this late in the seventh round? I mean, take a chance. Highly recruited. He only allowed 13 catches of 145 yards in 2023. The reason why he wasn't so sought after is because, you know, you had Terrion Arnold, who was one of the best corners in all of football, and Kool-Aid McKinstry, which, again, I'm not a fan of. But a lot of people are, that he was a first-round talent. So he kind of gets lost. So for me, taking a flyer on this guy in the seventh round is genius, and the Jets did a great job. So if you look at the Jets draft, they got a starter in Fashanu. I think he's amazing. Corley is a stud. I think he'd absolutely stole him. Braylon Allen, I don't know yet. Jordan Travis was a flyer at a future quarterback for them for the Aaron Rodgers issue. Isaiah Davis is a guy in the fifth round they took a chance on, and then Stiggers from the CFL, and then Jalen Key from Alabama. I don't know. I mean, if you look at the Jets draft, they picked the correct person in Fashanu, right? They had no second-round draft pick. They picked, I think, Corley can start in the NFL. I think he's that good. So if you take those two guys and you go, okay, they got a future quarterback. They got a running back that's going to get some short yardage and some touchdowns. They really didn't need a lot at the running back position, but they ended up going back with Isaiah Davis. I think he was just too good of a value in the fifth round, pick 173. They got some key guys here, some guys that can contribute, but overall, I don't think it was one of the best drafts in the NFL this year. And then we're going to round out the AFC East with the New England Patriots, who only won 4 games last year. They were a dumpster fire, and obviously they have a new coach going into this year for the first time in a very long time. So that's very interesting. So with their first-round pick, they picked Drake May out of North Carolina. I like Drake May. He wasn't my favorite quarterback out of all the quarterbacks. For those of you who want to listen to a very intensive quarterback breakdown, Best in Class, I did an entire episode just on quarterbacks, and I put a lot of time and energy into it. And Drake May misses some easy passes. I think he gets nervous in the pocket. He didn't really have a lot of terrific talent around him this past year. The previous year he did, and he put up some bigger numbers. I think he has the best intermediate throw out of all of the quarterbacks coming out this year. That probably 7-8 yard to 11-12 yard pass, that intermediate pass, extremely accurate, puts it on the money, puts it on the correct shoulder, puts it in stride. I think that's his favorite throw, and if I was building an offense around him, I would stay away from, you know, the outside routes, and he would definitely be a guy that I would attack the middle for me. Like, I would have a lot of terrific tight ends. I'd have a really good slot receiver. I'd have running backs that can catch the ball. Because I think that's Drake May's strength. But again, I can't knock that pick at 3. I think they needed a quarterback. They drafted a quarterback. So right now, I don't know if he's going to start for the New England Patriots, but I think it's a mistake if he doesn't. I think that they need to get him going. In the second round, pick 37, Jalen Polk out of Washington. Drafting a wide receiver in New England has always been an issue because Belichick, for whatever reason, didn't like to draft wide receivers. Jalen Polk is a stud wide receiver at pick 37. Between May and Polk, those are two guys that are really going to help this team on offense. I mean, I think New England had the worst offense in football. But Polk, for me, if you want to listen to the wide receiver breakdown, he's an incredible player. I watched every play the guy played last year. Difference maker. professional leader. I think he's going to really help the locker room. And then they went offensive tackle, Caden Wallace out of Penn State, another Penn State player. It's unbelievable how many Penn State players get drafted. So, you know, interesting guy, pretty good at pass protection as a better run blocker than a pass protector. I don't know what they're going to use him as. I don't know if he's a tackle or guard in the NFL, but the way it looks because of their fourth round draft pick, I'm going to say they're going to start him at tackle or they're going to try him at tackle. Layden Robinson is a guard out of Texas A&M. At one point was an absolute dominant guard, and then he went through a stretch where he gave up some sacks, and it really dropped him in the draft. But his junior, but last year, like the last, I think, five games, he only gave up one sack. He had 1,206 career pass blocking snaps. Listen, Layden Robinson to me is a plug-and-play guard. In the fourth round pick, 103, that's a great job, New England, because I think he just goes in and starts. Javon Baker, they went to wide receiver again at UCF. Very exciting special teams player. Can return punts, can return kicks. Had 22 yards perception to lead all of college football. Obviously, he's a down-the-field guy. This is a guy that's interesting to me because if you pair him with Polk, Polk is a possession receiver, and then you have Baker, who's obviously, you know, a home run hitter. Really interesting with May, Polk, and Baker. And then they are solidifying their offensive line with Robinson and Wallace. You can really see like the design of what they were trying to do in the draft. It's really cool when you see it and you're looking at it and you're going, okay, this is what they're doing. It's not just random. They're purposely building an offense, right? Pick six, round six, pick 180. Marcellus Dial out of South Carolina. This guy is one of those guys that's feast or famine, right? This is a guy that can make absolute amazing plays and then you're like, okay, what just happened? He just gave up a touchdown, right? So he's one of those guys, talks the talk, big talker on the field. You know, he did play in the SEC, which I love. He played on a very chippy South Carolina defense, which, you know, when I say chippy, I mean they had an attitude. He had 19 pass breakups over the last two seasons, which is terrific. I really like him. In the sixth round pick, 180, you're going to get somebody like Dial, who has potential to be a starter in the NFL. That's just insane to me. Round six, pick 183, QB Joe Milton, the third out of Tennessee. Here's a guy that can throw the ball out of the gym or out of the stadium. I don't like his touch. Didn't really like his accuracy very much. Basically, he's one of those playground quarterbacks where he uses his incredible athleticism to break out of the pocket. The play goes dead. The wide receivers, you know, he motions to a wide receiver to go down the field, and then he throws the ball on a rope for a touchdown. He had, if you look at that, he had 10 of his 20 passing touchdowns were on broken plays. Right, so that's what I'm talking about when what I'm saying is he's just so athletically gifted and his arm is so strong that he makes these playground plays. The NFL is more difficult to do that in. You know, Williams is going to really see that some of the stuff he did at USC at quarterback where he could break out of the pocket and throw across his body or throw downfield because he trusted himself. He's not going to be able to do that in the NFL as much. Like, he might get away with it sometimes, but they're going to really try to rein that in. And that's the same with Joe Milton. And then the seventh round, they picked a terrific tight end in Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. Unbelievable value in the seventh round. To me, he's just an amazing blocker, can catch the ball. Wow. To get Bell in the seventh round, like, he must have interviewed poorly because his athletic skill set, his combine numbers, what he did at Florida State is so much better than pick 231. There must be something that we're missing on him, an injury or he didn't interview well because he's way better than where he is. So recapping New England, Drake May in the first round should start for them. If he doesn't, there's a problem. Polk at wide receiver should start for them. Terrific pick. Caden Wallace. I'm really kind of intermittent on this guy. I think he's going to play tackle. We'll see how he goes. Layden Robinson to me is a much surer pick at guard. He's going to start at guard for them. Javon Baker is an excellent wide receiver in the fourth round. Dial is a guy hit or miss in the sixth round. He's either going to be a stud or he's going to give up a touchdown. So we'll see if he's coachable. And then Milton is a strange pick for me because they drafted May. Milton is a huge project unless they're going to try to change positions. And Jaheim Bell is just an absolute dream of a pick at seven. So overall, the Patriots had a terrific draft, in my opinion. Now, when I say terrific, they drafted the right players in the right positions. Now, the entire draft is going to be based upon can Drake May be a franchise quarterback. So we'll see how that goes. But if we go back and we look at who had the best draft in the AFC East, I'm going to have to say the Buffalo Bills. And I know that's going to go against a lot of pundits. But getting Keon Coleman in the second round at pick 33 and then Cole Bishop at 60, two starters, and then getting someone of Dwayne Carter's level at pick 95, and then Ray Davis, to me, is a steal at pick 128. I mean, look at the contributors. And then Cedric Van Pran, which was my third best center in all of college football, they picked him in the fifth round, pick 141. And then they took a chance on Javon Solomon out of Troy, who led college football with 32 sacks. And then Hardy is going to contribute some at snaps. I really love what Buffalo did. And a team that went 11-6 had a terrific draft. Okay, that concludes the AFC East breakdown. So basically, please reach out to me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with questions and comments. Any players you want to talk about, I'll talk about them on the pod. If you'd like a separate pod, like I said, I'm getting asked to do a dynasty league. I'm going to do that. I also am the reigning champion of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football League. So I'm going back to defend my title with Todd Wright this year. So that's coming up as well. And please leave me reviews on Joe Bucks Fan or Apple Play. And please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all the social media sites. And don't worry, Drive Curry. You guys, I'll see you next time.